It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't love junior mints. I just don't hate them. I don't understand why they are treated like second-class candy.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Oh,
A candy that is basically toothpaste wrapped up in stale chocolate is treated like a second-class candy. All right, I get it. It's a good, valid question.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Is there a time to change? You know, the three teams I've drafted this year, second-class candy is pretty good.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Candy. Halloween.
I just said to my wife this afternoon, Thursday. I gotta get candy. I've been walking past the candy for a month. I usually wait until the last minute. Well, here we are.
The only reaction the candy ever gets from me is when it's out for the first time and you're like, oh, this is offensive. It's August 8th. Do we really need to be fronting the Reese cups on August 8th? Like, is it really that time of year yet? No. And then I sort of never look at it again. Right. It's not something I ever buy. But you're right. It's 2 days away.
Time to go. It's all been picked over by now, too. So, you know, you're in tough.
Really? Everybody's out of candy?
Not out of candy, but on the day. Like, I don't think I'm going to make it today. And then, so tomorrow, day before, yeah, it's like going for Christmas lights on Christmas Eve. Yeah, you're in tough.
You're getting junior mints.
You're getting whatever you can get. I wouldn't stoop to that. I would cut up apple pieces and wrap them up and put. I'm kidding. I would never give out apples.
What was the thing we talked about? Whether it was appropriate for Halloween, like 2 weeks ago.
Condoms.
No, that was not. That's when Sal filled in.
No,
I was not there for that conversation.
Yeah, that was me and Trista on DM.
It was something else. No, we had the fun meeting, the fun team meeting at work.
Of course, I wasn't involved.
One of our sales reps said, "Oh, what was it? Bars? No, it wasn't bars. It was something like that, though. Like Lunchables? No, it was something that." Is it okay? Remember this? Is it okay if I give this out?
Carrot sticks or something?
No,
like that?
No.
Was it ramen?
Ramen.
It was the cup of noodles.
Cup
That's
of
right,
noodles,
Zach.
Cup of noodles. Good job,
Thank
Zach.
You.
Yes.
Thank you. Right. It was cup of noodles.
Right, and you were like, I think if my daughter came home with a cup of noodles, I'd like that.
I would love it.
Yeah.
Does she need a ninth? Three musketeers? No. Eight is plenty.
Yeah.
If you got eight and a cup of noodles, that's great. Oh, you want to have a candy bar? Great. Here's an actual, quote, meal. First, cup of noodles. I support it. Our Halloween party is on Thursday.
Don't ring this guy's doorbell on Halloween.
Nobody ever does. I'm not doing it. Nobody ever comes to our house.
Oh, that's too bad.
For who?
For you.
Yeah, not for people. People don't want to come to our house.
No, why would they? But for you, I might be making it sound like a chore. Simply, I've neglected getting the Halloween candy, which I do every year until the day before Halloween, and then I'll go get some. And I love sitting out there on Halloween. Except for that one year when I went to go clear the some leaves piled up in the sewer in the street right in front of my house, and it was raining. So I went to clear the leaves so that there wasn't a big lake at the end of my street for people trying to walk and go trick-or-treating. So I went and was clearing out the leaves, and I left the bowl of candy on the porch. And by the time I got back, some neighborhood youths, some toughs, some ruffians on dirt bikes, I didn't have dirt bikes, had just the bowl was still spinning when I got back to the porch.
Like the outsiders.
They just cleaned me out. I'm like, oh, no, it's like 7:30. I got to have an hour to go.
It's so bad.
But you generally, aside from that one isolated, awful
Pony Boy came by.
Yes.
Ripped you apart.
Just ripped us off.
Pony Boy.
I love sitting out there and seeing the kids, and it's a good time. And the weather's supposed to be, great.
70s.
I mean, holy cow.
Yeah.
That was the worst when you were a kid and your mother was going to make your father, I suppose, put your parka on or like some sort of at least medium heavy jacket or coat. Because it's 45 degrees or even cooler, and you know, I got a Batman suit on. They'll be able to see my cape with this parka on. You're ruining my costume. and all I have is this stupid plastic mask, and I'm breathing in it, and it's gross, and it smells horrible by the third doorbell I ring. But I got the mask on, but no cape. The cape's the whole thing.
Did you ever have an OJ jersey? You would wear the parka over the OJ jersey in those days?
I did go as football. I didn't have an OJ jersey.
You
but
couldn't
I did,
get jerseys.
No, I'm sure I went as football player at some point. Hockey player for I had a hockey. I had all the hockey gear. I played hockey since I was in third grade, so I had that. But yeah, jacket. I can remember even, yeah, big jacket over the hockey gear.
Yeah, like you see that a lot.
Like
in
I was going
games.
To a practice in February or something. When I was little enough to have to dress at home.
If you played in Depew, though, you would actually wear the coat.
That's right, because that was cold.
Because they did
there
not
were,
have
there were no
walls
back in the day. Right.
That's right. The first Halloween costume I can remember having and wearing is C-3PO.
All right.
So it was like a suit, like a vinyl
sure.
kind of suit.
And that had to have the plastic
and the
mask.
Gold.
The, right.
Yeah, like the plastic gold
right.
head.
Right.
Which, I don't know, like, that's not bad.
No, it's
store-bought.
That's pretty solid.
It's store-bought.
Pretty solid.
But that's what that's the first costume I can ever remember wearing in my life is C-3PO, which I'd wear this week. I'd go back to it.
This my not being interested in participating in the Halloween festivities at work, I'm now realizing, is very well-rooted in my childhood. Like, I did not really ever dig in. On what do you want to be? I was the guy like, Mom, do we have an old bed sheet? Like, that was me. We cut some holes in it. Okay, great. I'm a ghost. Again. Again.
All right. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. We're in the lobby at Roswell Park today, and it's a great honor to be here. We'll talk to Ross Tucker coming up at 5. We've got open lines this hour, 803-0550, talking about the AFC. The developments of the weekend. We have a trade today again, Baltimore adding Deontay Johnson. And I want to talk about the Steelers too, off their win last night. Are we to take them seriously? 6-2? How seriously is it right to take the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I think it might be right. Hear me out. Really, you weren't going to interrupt me. I maybe take them as seriously as I'm taking the Houston Texans, and I know that might like that's probably not what a lot of people. I've not ever thought the Texans deserved like super contender status, right? Top three or four in the conference, on a par with Buffalo, Baltimore, Kansas City. I always felt like they were a little notch below, and maybe most people think that. I don't know. But they were getting a lot of love in the offseason, and they have the record. They look good. But I think Pittsburgh, they're gonna run it. They're gonna take their shots. Russell's gonna throw his moon balls, and you know those aren't high percentage throws. But you got Pickens down there. He's gonna grab a few of them, and you've got those pass rushers, man. Like that is just such a menace. Watt and Highsmith both. I mean, what a nightmare they were last night for the Giants.
The Giants are their own.
Well, that's right. I mean, the Giants
though.
are a particular kind of inept.
I wanted that for the picks. I thought I had it. I mean, underdogs. There are. We've talked about this, like you and I. There are people that bet favorites or pick favorites and just roll with it. We'll see. You know, you had the Chiefs. Maybe you didn't, but you could have had the Chiefs in Vegas, and they're giving like 9, and they win by 7, right? And it's like, I've got the Chiefs. I'm just going to see what happens here. Like, they're the better team. They'll win the game. One way or another, I'm going to cover that number. And I'm more the Raiders type. Like, I liked the Raiders in that game.
Right.
And it's not to pick that game out because that one hit, but it's like Cincinnati Bearcats. Same thing happened on Saturday night in that game against the Buffs. And then this game last night, give me the 6.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody thinks the Giants are terrible. And now we're starting to talk like the Steelers are good. And this is just not the NFL I know. Like it should be.
Right.
The Giants should be live. And they were.
Yep.
But they ran a 2-point conversion attempt, the likes of which would not be on, you know, Super Dave Osborne would not even stoop to the level of that play for the bit. I mean, it just like the, did they ever practice that play?
That's, it looked like they had not practiced that play ever. And I love, listen, Daboll is a lot to like about his offense and his design. They're in tough there, and he, did it not stand out to you like how angry he looks on the sidelines?
Always.
All the time?
All the time.
Like, every time they show him, I want to say it again, I like him, I admire him, I respect him. Every time I see him like that, I imagine the owner watching his team just going, no. Like, that doesn't look like the Giants to me. The Giants to me are very buttoned up. You know, they've got a sweater around their neck, you know, and they're going out somewhere to Montauk for brunch. Like, that's the Giants, a very blue-bloody kind of team. And their coach is just like, he just can't wait to let everyone know he did not like what just happened. And I don't know, man. I don't know how that plays with that ownership. Maybe it's fine.
How does it play with the fans?
Right. And so I'm starting to say that two-point play, I was glad to see Jones as mad as he was. And I don't know who that was directed at. You know, just overall frustration. Like, oh, my God, he looked like, did we not practice this play? What are we doing out here? And I feel like someone should give it back to Daboll occasionally. Like, he thought that was a good idea, and they called that. And I was glad Jones showed some frustration there because he's a pretty stoic dude, Jones.
I don't know. I watched it back, and I wouldn't blame him. You're not saying different.
No.
I wouldn't blame him for what happened there.
No, he should have been mad. I think he
wasn't slow.
No, he should have expected somebody to, like, nobody blocked. Everyone just stood there. Like, they didn't even know the snap count or whatever.
They all waited to see him throw the ball first.
Right.
Like, it was just not on time. Might have been loud, but, you know, in their defense.
Right.
Much the same as what you're saying. I think Daboll has really shown that he can scheme an offense. He's capped by Jones' relative lack of talent. Like, that's not getting better until Jones is replaced, and maybe Daboll won't be around for that. I think it could have happened already, but similar to Watson, there's big money that they've committed to with him, and so this is probably another situation where he's got a boss telling him not to do it.
I wonder if they're getting close, though, to a Derek Carr in Vegas type of situation. Or I'm trying to think of – there have been a few examples.
Russell Wilson in Denver.
And same thing last year, right. Carr was the year before. Yeah, where it's like, geez, if he gets hurt, we're on the hook for this next year. Whereas, you know, if we can get out from it, sure, there's going to be money that we're going to have to account for, which, you know, is not ideal. But at least we're not going to guarantee him another $50 million or something. Like, I feel like I've seen that alluded to, but I don't know if it specifically fits that scenario. Like, how motivated the Giants would be to do that. But they got to be getting close. Like, if that is in the window for them at all, they got to be getting close to pulling the trigger on it. Because how much longer are you going to wait?
Yeah, Daboll does not pass a certain test as a head coach for lack of a better word, maturity. And I would probably guess that that's part of what, I mean, he did well. He was successful here, but then he left. And you've got the coldest handshake you've ever seen between Daboll and Sean McDermott. I don't know. I think there's probably a rift there. I think that's probably safe to say. And isn't McDermott kind of the last guy in the world who would
want to deal with somebody
who comes so easily unhinged?
If you're going to run hot, don't run hot around that guy.
What was it in the summer with Hard Knocks with Daboll where he was interviewing – rookies like before the draft, and he's got his feet on the table and just like who's going to be the grown-up,
right?
So you're right. I mean, I think every time you sort of look at the Giants, he's off the rails. Like that was with Tyrod last year at the end of the first half against the Bills,
right,
where he's just like losing it. And I think, not to get too, you know, analytic about it or whatever, but I think someone's instinct to do that is when they're trying to reassign blame. Like, it's not my fault
right.
that this just happened. It's why didn't you know? But coaching is both. Coaching is maybe even more preparing players for situations and having them mentally right. Yep. And if I'm a player on his team, I'm always thinking like he just will not take accountability for anything that goes wrong.
Yeah.
And they almost always lose.
Even if he does privately and that makes a player feel better one-to-one, you still are going to feel like you're getting shown up constantly by the guy. And, yeah, I wonder, like, you know, yeah, I agree generally you're trying to shift blame. I wonder if he just runs so hot that he can't even – he's not even processing that. It's just like, this isn't working. It should be working. We talked about this. Like, he just can't – he just can't keep it in. And I think that's tough. That's a tough gig to have when you can't seem to control your emotions at least enough of the time for it to be a conversation, which I think it is. Like, I think, you know, you watch them in primetime, it's a thing. I think even at this point, the people who, you know, are in charge of, like, what we get to see and when are probably on a, like, get a camera on Dable. Like, something just went wrong. He's gonna flip out on someone. We're going to want it. Because it just happens. It seems like it happens every week. He doesn't have the market cornered on it, but it just feels like he's the guy that I think of for it more than anyone else, showing players up.
Yeah, it could be tough for him. I mean, it's a terrible team again, as usual, and terrible teams are always making coaching changes, like constantly. This is year three, and so maybe he doesn't survive it. And then the next team will have to decide what they want to do, like how they would consider him. And I think he might have a problem because of all this. The question was about the Steelers, who beat the Giants. Here is their schedule. The Steelers will have a lot to say about what happens in the AFC playoff picture.
I don't have this memorized, but they ran it down. Joe Buck ran it down last night. And it is, I think, brutal.
Was that before or after he failed to recognize that the Giants were putting 12 men on the field on purpose? Oh, wait, that was never recognized. No. I'm sorry. So it was not. You're not sure if it was before or after that. It was before it happened in the game. At Washington, by this week.
It was before I fell asleep, which might have been before the 12 men on the field thing.
Pittsburgh and San Francisco are the two teams that have the bye this week. At Washington, are they not an underdog? That's an interesting one. Washington plays this week. I think they play the Giants this week.
I think that's close.
At Washington, I bet Washington's favored. Washington is doing it all. Defensively, scheme, Daniels, like everything looks great there. At home, I would think Washington would be favored there, but still, either way. At Washington, Baltimore. At Cleveland on a Thursday night in November. At Cincinnati, Cleveland again. At Philadelphia, at Baltimore, Kansas City, Cincinnati. Pittsburgh has 9 games left.
And they're sitting on 6 wins.
I think they'll do well to win 4.
I was going
to
say
5. Like, yeah, yeah. 5 is good.
Yeah.
So that's still 11-6. And that kind of record, if they get there, and, you know, you're going to want to if you're 6-2, is interesting for the Texans and the Bills and the Ravens, of course, because Baltimore has 3 losses. Pittsburgh and Baltimore, they split. 11-6 wins the division, and then the Ravens are on the road. And I think most Bills fans would probably sign for that. You'd rather have that than
them having to go there eventually?
Sure. Yeah, then, like if it's 2-3.
Okay, would you rather play them right away and eventually you have to go to Pittsburgh?
Ravens?
No, if you're the Bills.
Yeah.
Right? You play – the Bills are the 2, the Ravens are the 7. Right? Or you're the 3 and they're the 6.
Sure.
Whatever. Okay, but that's how it matches up.
And Pittsburgh's the 2.
Yeah. Is that – would you rather have to deal with that, get them in your place first, rather than have like a walkover type of wild card game like the Bills have had the last 3 years?
I don't want to have to play Baltimore at all. I would take almost any scenario over playing them at all.
All right.
And that's the kind of team where I don't think it really matters where you play them. You know? Like, the thing about them, and this has been true, we've talked about it, and this is one thing that makes the Bills game there really confusing, is that everybody can throw it on them.
Right.
Baltimore. And Jameis went over 300 in that game. They dropped interceptions, any one of which probably wins them the game.
Especially that late one to Hamilton. I mean, Hamilton had he got four hands on that ball. It was ridiculous.
I think what you want, let's say the Bills win 11, which is not even, that's not aggressive.
No,
right,
considering
now
that they already have six, yeah.
If the Bills win 11, and it might be better, this is a form of your point, where the Steelers win 12 or 11 on ties, whichever it is, and top you in the seedings. So the Bills end up, say Kansas City also clears that, and the Bills end up the 3, then you want the Ravens at 11 wins as the 5 playing the Texans. And then the Bills get Denver or the Chargers. That's what you want. Then you win and you go to Pittsburgh, maybe, or you play at home in the second round. Maybe Pittsburgh is so soft as a 12-win team that they get the Chargers or the Broncos and lose. And then that team goes to Kansas City and the Bills are playing the Baltimore-Houston winner. I mean, maybe that's fine.
I am not as worried about it. This evolves, of course. We're through week 8, so there's a lot to go, and opinions can definitely change with more information, more games. The fact that Baltimore is getting thrown on by everyone they play except the Bills has me feel like bring them on. I feel like the Bills had no idea that early in the season what they were really doing with their passing offense. And I just think with Cooper here now and the way they've been working it the last game and a half, I guess I'll say, I feel like they will move the ball on them. I don't know about stopping Derrick Henry, but, I mean, the thing that really hurt them in that game was that they were so bad on offense. I mean, I know Henry ran them over, but if you could score with them, which teams have been doing, I don't feel like Baltimore is – such a cut above that I got to avoid them. It's why earlier already today and yesterday spent a lot of the day. Like, I feel great about where the Bills are and how they look because nobody looks to me like out of their league. I know that saying that after having lost their 35-10 might sound ridiculous, but watching the game since then, I feel like that was a one-off weirdo game, and I can't imagine that it goes that way again.
I wonder if, and this is up for discussion, 803-0550, I wonder if Derrick Henry, not Lamar Jackson, but Derrick Henry is the one player Bills fans would say they do not want to see in the playoffs. More than Jackson, more than Mahomes. Like, Derrick Henry has run over the Bills. And, I mean, What more do you need than an 87-yard run on the first play of the game on a Sunday night? Like, just
right.
That game was a lot of things. So I wonder if that's like maybe it's Kelsey. It's kind of an interesting question, and it's also week 9. But what can I say? I'm not embarrassed to admit it. We're kind of close to the conversation about whether the Bills should take December off. I mean, if that's how it continues. 803-0550, again, the number for your calls. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. We're in the lobby at Roswell Park today. Hockey fights cancer. Friday night, the Sabres host the Islanders. Tickets available. There's donations and different ways you can support it and benefit. You can get your tickets at roswellpark.org/hockeyfightscancer. This is WGR.
Josh, there's no question is that top two, top three spot in the MVP race. I would fully expect him, you know, to remain there and consistently be there. And if they continue to win, it's going to be hard to not give it to him.
Dan Orlovsky, okay.
I kind of agree. They keep winning. He throws, you know, for 280. It's going to work out pretty well for him, I think.
You know, I guess, I think that it really is more, when you're somebody who's established what Allen has this year and 4 years, it's less about numbers than it is about wins. I think that's what we saw last year, where Jackson had done that. And I think ultimately it didn't come down to stats. They were much the best in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Bills got the 2 seed. They were 6-6. It was that smooth a ride for the Ravens.
Right.
And they had a win in San Francisco that there was like a dominant sort of win. I mean, they always beat the NFC. And I don't think it was numbers, because when, like, Bills fans did it, and Aaron Schatz, that's his right. absolute stock and trade. When you looked at the numbers more closely, Allen was an easier argument. But it didn't matter. Like, it was Baltimore. The Bills had sort of, like, by Thanksgiving, this was just not a team
yep.
whose best player was going to be in the conversation for the MVP, and that kind of sealed it. And the Ravens never left that post. So keep winning. If they all do, like, say the Bills and the Chiefs, it's really – I mean, I love this debate every week. It's different. If the Bills, the Chiefs, the Ravens, they all win 13 games, then I think you're probably okay, because it'll be more like he's kind of due to win. If they keep winning, Dan Orlovsky, simply put, what is that?
Right.
Is that 12 wins? Is that 13, 14? Because if it's 12, which is still great, somebody else, Kansas City wins. I mean, they're 7-0.
Right. Kansas City goes 14-2, or 3, excuse me. Stupid. How many years has it been now? One of these years, I'm going to get it.
Plus that one year the Bills had a game canceled.
Right. Just totally messes doesn't with help. You when you look at the – yeah. If they go 14-2.
There it is again.
Oh, my God. I'm going to take a playoff.
You know what?
I'm going to take a playoff.
Can we just say that's enough? That's good. Can we just call that good?
Right.
Can we just say it's 16 right. games?
How about if I just go with, if they win 14 games.
That's what I did.
I'm going to stand there from now on. No, I'm not. In an hour, I'm going to say 14-2 again. If we're still talking about the same thing, which we very well could be. Yeah, I mean, what year does Allen have to have, and the Bills have to have, for them not to give Mahomes the award?
That's really maybe the question.
I mean, that is tough. Like, I'm thinking, like, last year, what kept Allen? Statistically, when you went and looked at it, when it was all over, and Aaron Schatz, like, made it public, and because I was right with everyone all year. Oh, yeah, Lamar's the MVP. Like, I never, like, really spent time looking at their game-by-games or even their totals. Yeah, he's awesome, and they're the one, and okay. But then when you really looked at it, like, wow, the only number that really dinged Allen is the 18 interceptions. Like, if he has that cut in half last year, has nine. Nine is still a lot. But if he cut it in half, which I know is asking a lot, considering the total he had, because of the way the year started on Monday Night Football, the loss to the Jets, three interceptions that night, all year, last year, the narrative on him was the turnovers, the turnovers, the turnovers, the turnovers. And Bills fans going, some of them are arm punts. And like, I'll trade, a couple turnovers for the big plays and all this stuff. You know, rationalizing. The interceptions absolutely undid him. And so I think if he had, again, if he had half the total he had, which still would have been a lot, I'll bet he would have won it. I think it was so easy for people to ding him for the picks, which, is a dingable category.
Like, it's dingable.
You should get dinged for throwing 18 interceptions.
Like, I disagree, by the way. I don't think he wins in that scenario because they didn't win enough games, unless that meant they won a couple of those other games.
Well, right. Yeah.
And because Baltimore still happened. So, I mean, there were 50 votes. Jackson got 49.
I know. I just think the 18 would have been you're looking at, if you're a voter, I'm assuming you're doing this. You're looking at the two guys' lines for the year, and of course you're taking into account the team success. I think Allen so badly outdid him in everything else that if the 18 weren't even a double digit. That's why I chose to cut it in half. Nine. Be like, oh, Allen had a better year.
It's so interesting. Like, Allen had 15 rushing touchdowns. That's insane. He doesn't have that this year.
No.
Does he have three, maybe?
Although he really did, that really built late last year.
That's right.
So if we ever get, I mean, it's the hand, right? He had the glove off at practice last week at some point, I think. Like, oh, he's maybe in the game comes, he's got the glove on. So I don't know how healthy that is. He mishandled the ball one time on Sunday, but that was with his right hand, and because of the rain, I don't think it had anything to do with his left hand. Unless that is limiting him, and he is doing everything with his right, which is possible. But yeah, we've not seen that return yet, and that's why I'm bringing up the hand in this context. Like, if that gets cleared up at some point, he could get 8 rushing touchdowns in the back end of the season here, like, or more. I mean,
well, in terms of the MVP, like, independently, I'm not sure that really helps him. Because last year that was not so much of the conversation. It could have been, but I don't really think it was. I almost feel like it's a strike against the quarterback.
If he's running it in, not throwing it to his tight end or something.
You know, like, yeah. I'm not sure I'm right. I mean, it would vary. It shouldn't be. I don't know, Jackson. The first year Jackson won, he led the league in touchdown passes. And despite that, for going on 6 years, it was like, oh, well, they can't throw the ball. Like, it just didn't matter what the facts were. Touchdown passes is not yards. I mean, it's different. It's red zone. But he does not run for touchdowns. There's so many ways to look at it. I think the most important thing is team wins. I don't think it should be, but I think it is. And the Bills are alive for that. So is Jaden Daniels.
Sure.
You know, I mean, that's an amazing story.
Right.
7 touchdown passes, 2 picks, runs great, 6-2. He could win. I had the Jordan Love thing with Joe Ostrowski. Love gets hurt again. Thanks.
Yeah. Like
that wasn't a great result, but he might play this week. Goff. Mayfield is the league. Mayfield has 21 touchdown passes. Allen has 14. Allen's up there.
Could be really interesting with Daniels. Like, I feel like because he just showed up, he's going to get offensive rookie of the year or something.
Yeah.
And he would have to blow – I think he'd have to blow the field away. And they'd have to win 13 or 14 games. Like how I did that, I didn't mention losses.
That's the way to do it.
And, you know, that's all possible. But, I mean, blow the competition away.
We didn't get to watch him because it was on at the same time as the Bills Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
How much time have you spent with Daniels?
I've seen highlights.
The game against the Bengals, the Monday night, I'm at the Bills game. It's right with Jacksonville, Buffalo. Like, I didn't get to watch that. I got home. That game was a blowout. I left at halftime, got home, and watched Daniels in the second half against Cincinnati. He was incredible. And he throws this – I mean, it's the play of the year. He throws this pass to McLaurin in the end zone to seal that game as he's just getting wrecked in the backfield. I don't know. Like, I think he's live for that award. Maybe a number of guys. Mahomes still is live for – Mahomes has 2. His team is undefeated. 8 touchdowns, 9 picks. He threw another one against the Raiders. Did they score 17 points? That's incredible. Is it a bit? Kansas City, is it a bit? I mean, it's just like, we're not going to really do this. We're just going to win and have you talking. I don't know. Tampa Bay at Kansas City Monday night.
Go Baker Mayfield.
And then it's Denver at Kansas City, and then the Chiefs are here. 803-0550. Ross Tucker at 5 today. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. We're at Roswell Park. This is WGR. Having trouble with a couple of my favorite apps in here today. I don't know.
Oh, yeah?
It's my phone. I'm not blaming Roswell Park. Lest anyone think. But my phone is so close to maxed out that now my apps are just like, they're done.
Mm.
But let's just approximate this. I made a $50 bet before the season on the Jets to win the AFC East. Should I take the cash out? 42 cents. Should I take it? Just to sort of keep some dignity?
No.
I'll take whatever you'll give me.
There is nothing dignified, about betting on the Jets.
Well, I know that now. I know that now.
B, taking 42 cents. No, you're better off riding it out and, you know, seeing them win 10 in a row. They don't even have 10 games left, do they?
9 in a row.
I made the mistake on purpose. That
now
time.
You're going the other way.
I just did it on purpose.
Double down? You want me to bet him again?
You're better off just staying put. No, because that would be, well, dumber than even betting on them in the first place.
Listen, money's money.
Yeah. No.
Are they going to win the AFC?
No, 42 cents is not money.
Yes. Listen.
You can't even get a side of blue cheese for 42 cents anymore.
What can I get?
Ketchup packets. They still give those away, I think.
What can I get? Literally, what
42
can I get?
42 cents? I don't even know. A fun-sized candy bar.
Is that 15 minutes at a meter?
No.
A quarter? No, it's not, is it?
No.
What can I get?
No, it is. Yeah, it is.
15 minutes?
15 minutes at a
I go over to Hurdle.
Yeah, yeah.
Park, go into a bar, 15 minutes. That's what I get if I cash out on the
Jets.
But
you don't even have to put the money in anymore. It just comes out of your bank account. It's like you're not even really spending it.
Then let's not pick that.
So don't do that.
What do I get? What can I get? In this gift shop, is there one thing I can buy for 42 cents?
Absolutely not.
No, forget it.
You have to go in there. You know, the Chris Rock bit, I forget the movie it was, where he didn't have enough money for the full Pepsi. Was it Coming to America? Like, I just pour some in my hands.
Oh, I don't know.
You have to go in there and ask them if they have a pack of gum. Will they open the gum and sell you a stick of gum for 42 cents? Those are your options.
What about over here at Spot?
Worse.
Like the scones are $4.
Yeah, no.
At least. I mean, I'm not getting a tenth of a scone.
42 cents is not getting you anything. Don't take the buyout. Let it sit there.
Win a couple games, get that thing up to like $3, then take the money.
I don't want to take the time to log in because it's so hard. But I've got the 8 division winners bet.
Oh.
Two times two. I did it twice.
Me too.
One of them had the Titans.
Same.
The last time I looked, the buyout on that was 8 cents.
Well, we should team up.
8 and 40, 50 cents.
50 cents.
We're parking for half an hour outside the taco place.
We should just team up and have a party. Pool all our money. Have a cash out benefit for charity. Everybody cash out. The rule is has to be less than a dollar.
Right. All your
everybody's
loser bets
cash out
that
bets.
You're holding. Right.
And we all go out and drink water. That's and raise money. I don't know. We should do something with the cash out money. Make it work for good.
And share a plate of fries, maybe. Maybe we can cobble together enough for one plate
42
of fries.
42 cents.
Probably not.
How embarrassing.
Yeah.
I have one cash out offer that's on the plus side. That's the Packers to win the NFC North. But it's not like, you know, they're gonna.
Right.
Just like Minnesota lost. Chicago lost. So a little bit of a clearer path.
Yeah, right.
$50. On the Jets. I was so sure. Oh, the Bills. I mean, I don't know. Trey White left.
Right.
I mean.
Yeah, you missed the forest for the trees.
Though, I don't know.
A little bit with the Jets.
I didn't think the Bills would be worse than this, really. I'm not surprised by their
season. No, you thought the Bills.
I thought the Jets would be a lot
would
better.
Would be right with them. Yeah.
And minus 20-point differential through 8 games. They are so easy to make fun of. I don't think they're terrible, but it is just the story is it's embarrassing.
Everything is bad. Did you see I think I flagged it. There was a rundown of a sequence of events from the first quarter of their game on Sunday against the mighty Patriots.
Penalties?
They burned all 3 timeouts in the first quarter.
I think they spent
on offense.
I heard they spent 5 of their 6 timeouts for the game that way.
What are you doing? Is this a professional operation or not?
That's Rodgers, you know, showing Dable before with his temper. Mm-hmm. That's Rodgers like, not my fault.
Right.
I'm just going to call. I'm going to use your timeouts because you can't get the play. You're going to bench Nate Hackett.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to saddle me with this line. I'll burn your timeouts and try to make a point. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't think that's far-fetched at all.
Ross Tucker after the update here on WGR.